The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awake him." And so the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. And so when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. These are indeed extraordinary times. We are all watching the news. And as the news of the virus continues to spread and our precautions change and people continue to get sick and suffer, we see the images, we read about it. Many of you, I'm sure, I think, have heard from friends or family members, extended family, who have become sick. And some I have heard, you have told me, have died. It is indeed shocking, difficult times. And then, as I looked at the news today, I see more bad news. The weather throughout the Midwest of the United States predicted severe weather and a tornado already, and I believe there will be, they predict more tornadoes and hail, perhaps the size of baseballs. It is easy to become overwhelmed, isn't it? And I can't help, perhaps you, wonder what's happening. What is God doing? What is God allowing to happen? Is this indeed a testing, a time of trial for us when God is trying to call us back or even punish us? I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we can't help but wonder these things. It does say in Scripture that famines, wars, persecutions, trials, earthquakes will come. But Jesus also said that this is not the end when these come. Jesus does say an end will come, and he will come in again in glory and judgment, and take those who are just to heaven and those who have not responded to God and his offer of forgiveness will be punished. But Jesus also says nobody knows that hour. And so maybe there's a theological reason, but there might also just be a very natural reason. Today, like I mentioned, is my birthday, and I do have a person who is my favorite music artist and poet and composer and songwriter, Jackson Browne, who has also come down with the virus, and so we pray for him. But in his latest album called Standing in the Breach, which is itself a biblical concept from the book of Ezekiel, our first reading today, when God was looking for someone to raise up prayers, to stand on behalf of the sufferings that Israel was suffering in exile, to raise prayers so that God would deliver them, to stand in the breach. But in one of his songs called If I Could Be Anywhere, If I Could Be Anywhere, he suggests maybe some of the sufferings we see are natural. His lyrics, "And the world can't take it very much longer. And if we won't make it unless we're smarter and stronger, the world's going to shake itself free of our greed. If the oceans don't make it, neither will we. The world's going to shake itself free. Perhaps some of the sufferings we're going through are our own cause and the way that we've neglected to care for Mother Earth. And she's shaking us, letting us know that we are only one part of creation. But again, I don't know what the reason really is, but what I do know is what the response of a person of faith should be. And today's gospel helps us see what that response should be. A very peculiar gospel. Jesus hears about the news of his friend who's sick, the one he loves, and he says, let's wait, or he waits 2 more days, and his friend dies. And then he says, let's go to Judea. And the disciples remind him that they were just trying to kill him in Judea. And that if you go there, it might be your end too. And when he says, let's go, Thomas, recognizing the gravity, says, let us to go die with him. You see, Jesus did wait for Lazarus to die. This is the 7th sign in John's gospel. And the signs have been culminating to show us who Jesus is. Jesus has already forgiven sinners. Jesus has already healed the sick. And now his final miracle is to raise someone from the dead. And so he goes, and he stands in front of the tomb, and he weeps. How many times have we wept at the tomb of a loved one? And he gets perturbed. In one translation, even angry or deeply moved. How many times have we been moved, angry at death that has entered our lives? And he confronts the final enemy and calls out, get up, come out, raising Lazarus, showing that he has power over death, the consequence of our sin. But more, this event in John's gospel becomes, again, the reason why Jesus himself dies. This is his last entry into Jerusalem that we will soon celebrate on Palm Sunday, Good Friday. Jesus must not only confront death in his friend Lazarus, he must deliver us all in his own suffering, death, and resurrection. And so, Jesus confronts the final enemy, death, a consequence of our sin. And more so, like Thomas said, we must go die with him. Jesus didn't take away our sufferings. And I don't know the reason, but perhaps because we had a hand in the cause of sufferings due to our sins, our lack of love. Maybe in God's plan, we also share in the remedy for sin. Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, when he triumphs over that, but he goes through it. And so we too find ourselves in a time when we are suffering, facing death, standing at the beds of those sick and loved ones, and we cry out. But our call as people of faith is to join in the sufferings of Christ, for we can't share in the resurrection, his triumph over death, unless we also share in the sufferings of sin and in this world. And so our call is to embrace this moment, to share in that suffering and lift them up as a prayer. Join them to the suffering of God, for they are part of God's plan of redemption. They are salvific. And our call is also to stand with others who are suffering, to serve them in love, make our service a prayer to relieve their sufferings. And in doing that, it not only shares in the sufferings of Christ, but in the Christ who lives in others. And we are united more closely to Christ and one another. But then there's more. Martha says to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have lived, would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. Jesus commands that the tomb be opened, and Martha says, it's been 4 days, there's a stench. No matter how desperate the situation looks, no matter how much it stinks, God can still bring life from a difficult time and suffering and death. And so we can have hope But know that our prayers are important. Jesus himself prayed to God before he commanded Lazarus to rise. Our prayers make a difference. And so in this time, why is all this happening? I don't pretend to know, but I do know our response is to embrace it, to confront it, to share in the sufferings that are amongst us, to lift them up to Christ in prayer, to serve one another, and to pray for new life to come from these difficult times. And so in closing, I would like to quote the final song, or the title song, in Jackson Browne's album, Standing in the Breach, talking about just this, because Ezekiel's image was to lift prayers on behalf of those who are suffering. And although the earth may tremble and our foundations crack, we will all assemble and we will build them back and rush to save the lives remaining still within our reach and try to put our world together, standing in the breach. And though the earth may tremble and cast our works aside, and though our efforts resemble the fluctuating tide, we will rise and fall with the trust and belief that love redeems us each, and bend our backs and hearts together, standing in the breach. And though the earth may tremble and the oceans pitch and rise, we will all assemble and we will lift our eyes to the tasks that we know lie before us, and the power of our prayers beseech, and cast our souls into the heavens, standing in the breach.